Hello everyone. Thank you for joining us today. We'll give the participants a couple more minutes to join and then we'll get started shortly. Thank you. So hello again, everyone. Thank you for joining us. I see that folks are still trickling in, but we'll get started now. So a couple notes about our webinar today. If you're having any technical issues at all throughout the webinar, please feel free to email our OneLab inbox for support at onelab@cdc.gov. As you can see, we are leaving the chat feature open for your engagement throughout today's webinar. Feel free to use the chat to connect with each other, reacting to what you're hearing today, sharing your experiences and asking questions to your fellow participants. We ask that you engage with respect and professionalism, so any inappropriate behavior may result in removal from the webinar by our moderators. Additionally, we are offering live captions for today's session. So if you'd like to utilize this feature, please use the link in the chat and be sure to keep the captions windows open as well as the Zoom meeting. So with that, I'll take you into today's agenda. So for today, we will start with discussing some relevant OneLab resources to our testing community. Then we'll go into some introductions to Meredith and myself, as well as a short presentation on OneLab tests. And then today's session will end with a discussion of upcoming test events. So I'll now turn it over to Meredith Reagan to share some of our relevant resources.
Thanks, Julie. So as Julie said, I'm going to go over some resources with you before we get into our discussion. So OneLab Reach offers infographics on NTM and NP specimen collection. And so these aim to improve specimen collection for SARS-CoV-2 testing. Those links will be in the chat, along with the link to a fact sheet titled Health Professionals and Genetic Testing, What You Need to Know. And this resource contains some basic information about molecular genetic testing and results. So as I said, all of the links will be included in the chat. And we can move on to our introduction. So, like I said, I'm Meredith Reagan. I lead the partnerships and promotions team here in the training and workforce development branch. So, any of the emails, web, any of the promotion that you see around OneLab, my team leads that. So, we're essentially the communication office for OneLab. And I will pass it to Julie to do her introduction.
Yeah, thank you, Meredith. So my name is Julie Sun. I am a senior consultant with Guidehouse supporting the OneLab initiative. So I currently support the strategic planning efforts for both of our communities of practice, so that's both OneLab Network and OneLab Test. And I support the engagement activities for the OneLab community of practices. So I'm happy to have you all join us here today and learn a little bit more about your needs. So with that, I will turn over into a little bit of a look back into OneLab tests. So before we really dive into our discussion today, we wanted to take a look back at what led us to launch OneLab tests and recap some of the highlights from the past year. So as many of us here knows today, COVID-19 reshaped our understanding of point-of-care testing, and part of OneLab Initiative's vision is to support the testing community with timely and relevant resources. And we recognize that there was this high demand of point of care testing. And along with our one lab vision, we wanted to build the capacity for testers to respond to this demand in a timely manner. So this resulted in one lab test launching officially in March of 2023. So we held our kickoff event in June, shortly after the launch. And during that event, we had a variety of panelists during that event, including two speakers who were able to provide us with their experiences during the COVID-19 surge and what lessons they learned during that time. And then we followed up with webinars that highlighted training and resources to help support our understanding of the testing community's needs here. So our previous event, in collaboration with One Lab Network, focused on managing burnout, which resulted in a really great discussion and feedback. And we wanted to build upon that event in today's discussion. We hope that during our discussion portion today, we learn more about the lessons learned during the past few years, especially during COVID, what your current state looks like today, and maybe potential challenges that you're facing today, and how we can continue to tailor our events and resources to your unique needs. And then before we really dive further into the discussion, we wanted to speak on some of our past events as well. And I wanted to take a moment to highlight our updated events page layout. So while Sophie is continuing to bring back up the screen here with our slides, we'll have a link to our site in the chat. And if you scroll through our past events, you will notice a more streamlined layout where both the recordings and the slide deck are posted. So if you may have missed any of our past One Lab events, please feel free to explore those respective pages. One of our recent events in terms of topics was on PPE and how to properly don and doff PPE. So when you're able to explore that past events page, that is definitely one of our most popular events. So I encourage you all to explore. And then perfect. Now seeing the screen, Sophie. So as you can see here on the screen, this is our new event page layout. So in case there were any of our past events that you may have missed, please feel free to explore. There's recordings and audios, as well as our slides, presentation slides. So with that, I will now kind of turn over and transition to the discussion portion for today. So before we officially get started, I wanted to keep some of the open forum rules of engagement in mind. So next slide, please. Perfect. So before we begin our discussion, we just ask that you be respectful of other people's time and space. So please remain on mute if you until it's your turn to speak. We are using the raise hand feature here. So please use the raise hand function if you have a question or a comment. The team will work on engaging everyone in the orders that the hands are raised as well. And if you prefer, you may also use the chat for your question or comment. So whatever is best in terms of your own preferences. As well as feel free to come and go as you please. We'll be live here from 12 to 1, but happy to kind of have you come and go as you please. And then, as I mentioned earlier, if you have any questions or technical issues, please feel free to email the onelab@cdc.gov inbox, and we can jump in for the support. So with that, I'm going to transition this to Meredith to get us started on our discussion.
Thanks, Julie. So we can start with our discussion questions, our topic for lessons learned. So we are really interested to hear from you all around what type of wave testing do you perform? And so Where do you currently perform waived testing today? Okay, seeing in the chat some physician office, primary care, and specialty care. Would love to hear from others on the settings in which you all perform wave testing. And then also to unpack a little bit further, would anyone like to share any struggles or roadblocks that you might have faced in the last year? And so I'm seeing in the chat provider office and in the lab, more primary care. Thank you all for chiming in. Really appreciate it. It's sort of like getting people out on the dance floor. The more we can, you know, they come out one by one, and then it brings people out. Ambulatory surgery, so that's great. Welcome, other thoughts.
Yeah, and are these private, like, provider offices and physicians' offices, or is it more kind of based within a hospital or a health network? I'm also getting microbiology lab.
Ambulatory surgery. Would anyone like to weigh in on any struggles and challenges from the past year and maybe how your team has overcome these roadblocks? And Alicia did note in the chat that we of course welcome your input in the chat, but you also are welcome to come off mute and talk live on the webinar with us.
Or health department in the lab as well. Okay. Okay, so we're getting, Meredith, we're getting maintaining competency with nursing staff with staff shortages. So yes, I'm assuming, especially during COVID, and having to get the staff ready and make sure that we had enough people given that such a high demand. And so just to probe a little bit on that in terms of staff shortages, how did you respond to those staff shortages, and were there some pros and cons in terms of lessons learned? So I'm seeing some hands being raised now.
Yes, Kevin is first.
Kevin, so please feel free to come off mute.
Hi everyone, this is not Kevin,
Oh,
but
this is Guadalupe. Yep, go ahead,
yes.
Guadalupe.
Okay. So for my particular hospital system, one of the struggles we face is that we're not attached to I guess our hospital system really. We have our own CLIA waived testing going on at each individual ambulatory primary care, specialty care, or ambulatory surgery center. And so one of the hardest things that we've had to figure out is how to maintain competencies, how to make sure that everybody is trained, because everyone that is testing in most of those places are MAs. And so they don't really come from a scientific background all that much. Some of them have never even done point of care testing because they come from different specialties. And so I think that's what has been one of the biggest issues is trying to make sure that we are all standardized as well, because every, physician office has a, providers with preferences. And right now, since CLIA waived testing is just, there is no specification about who can be the lab director. It's kind of like, oh, I'm the doctor here and I like to use the Siemens Clinatec analyzer. And then, you go down the street to a different primary care and they like to use only visual reads. And so that makes it really hard for everyone to come together and really provide any training because at that point, everyone's doing something different.
It's hard to standardize when everybody has their own preferences.
Yes. And, whenever you have CLIA wave testing, there's so many options out there. And whatever, distributor you have, they just kind of shop online almost.
Okay. So how did like your facility respond to that one a little bit? Like, did you kind
So,
of
right now, and I don't know if anyone has seen this, but when you go to LinkedIn now, there's more positions being open for like a clinical operations, like laboratory specialist. And so my background is in is in molecular diagnostics. So I was actually brought on board to this hospital system to kind of like provide guidance and then also provide training for those MAs. So I'm trying to right now, that's kind of where I'm on here because I want to see what kind of things everyone else is doing. Maybe you can collaborate, get some more resources because right now I am kind of at that point where I'm thinking, how do I make this happen? Because a lot of it is financial. So trying to get all of our physicians to get on board with getting an analyzer in the first place is kind of difficult because obviously you have to get a buy-in and everyone prefers visual reads because it's easier. It's not maybe not easier actually, I would say it's actually harder, but it's cheaper. It's way cheaper and you don't have to maintain any specific instrument. And so that's one thing that I've also faced in, just trying to overcome that roadblock. So right now it's more like, oh, let's make sure that we eventually start putting those thoughts in their heads, like, hey, we would like to have more of a analyzer produce results instead of having visual reads.
Yeah. And trying to get some level of standardization, even though,
Right.
with some flexibility, knowing that there just are different preferences and different equipment and different processes, but kind of giving you some more resources towards standardization, is what I'm hearing from you.
Yes, maybe that, and also I don't know if this is ever going to be possible, but maybe like an intro for MAs specifically. I know that a lot of the there's a lot of good information for CDC for lab trained people, but not so much for MAs. And so whenever they come in, there's a lot of them who've never even done point of care testing. And so they don't know, hey, we need to read the product insert. Hey, we need to know that we need to make sure that everything is stored and handled correctly because otherwise you're compromising possibly the integrity of your testing system. And so a lot of these little things they're just not aware of because it's just not in their in their scope of practice before.
Okay. So one of the things I did want to mention, and this might be getting ahead to like the end of our presentation, but one of the upcoming events we have towards the end of the month, Guadalupe, is highlighting one of our featured resources for you. And I would recommend you explore our website for it. It is our featured training course on Ready, Set, Test. And that resource would be able to really highlight, especially in addressing your concern here with those that don't have any of this scientific background. This is a kind of good place to start to provide that foundational training and just highlight some of those skills that you were mentioning. And that will be just an upcoming event for us, and we'll kind of walk through that. So I definitely encourage you and maybe anybody else that you would recommend in terms of your colleagues to join that event. We'll give a little bit more information towards the end of it as well. Okay. Look, thank you so much for providing your insight, Guadalupe. And it looks like I think the next hand raise I see is Adriel. I will unmute you and hopefully this allows you to speak. No? All right. Let's see. I have Ahmad here. Ahmad, would you like to come off mute? Okay. Well, I think I allowed everyone to come off mute. So those that with hands raised, please feel free to come off mute. But I also wanted to take a second to recognize some more in the chat as well. Going back to just maintaining competency with the nursing staff and staff shortages. I'm noticing that also C-suite noticed the laboratory staffing concerns because of COVID. So definitely like the administrator's response to that. As well as some push for additional standardization. So maybe some resources and providing resources on maybe developing some standardized operating procedures and SOPs as well.
Thank you. Julie, do you want me to move to the next question for now? Do you think we're in a good place to do that?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So, as you all know, the reason that we really stood up this one lab test community of practice is to create a platform for all of us to interact, you know, for all of the testers and for CDC experts to have this time together, but to connect you all with one another as well. So, would love to hear from you about, you know, what do you think your facility or site could gain from connecting with other one lab test members? How would you envision those connections supporting your work? Would love to hear feedback, from you all on that.
Hi, I think that would be a really great idea only because we could have a way to discuss, how do we do things here, how do you do things there, and maybe, just kind of eventually, like for example, in my position, I would like to see what other systems are doing, maybe other clinics are doing, and see how they're able to standardize, how they're able to maybe like what processes they have in place that is working for them, because I know that every clinic is, every clinic is different. And depending on what area you're in, that could also change. And I know in Texas, for example, this is really hard. It's really hard for us to maintain like storage and handling sometimes during the hurricane season because we have, extreme weather events. We have hurricanes, we have freezes, we have we have power outages. And so when these kind of things happen, everyone turns to like me, for example, the only person right now supporting them. And they're like, what do we do with all of our QC our QC liquids? What do we do with all of our point of care tests? They were probably went up to maybe 95 because there was no air conditioning in that building. So that's kind of like, that's something that would be more area specific, and that would be nice to know from people in my area, for example.
Yeah, just kind of the more resources and what would be, are you thinking like in terms of maybe particular job aids and like checklists to respond to these special
Yes,
circumstances?
exactly. Yes, exactly. And this also for preparedness, because after that we realized a lot of our clinics are not prepared. Like how do they even prepare for that? Do they really just put all their boxes inside of a cart and take them to, I don't know, the main hospital, so that, because they're powered for with generators, so they won't lose power. Or do they need to just take it as a loss? Because these are probably going to get outside of those, they're going to have temperature excursions. Like what choices do they have, and what other places are doing? Are they, just QCing everything? And like I said, one thing that I've noticed also is that a lot of the CLIA waived testing, they only provide like one form of QC inside of their kits. So I don't know if you've ever seen, like, for example, like the Abbott, I guess I would say like the COVID-19 antigen cards, those only have one swab, one set of swabs for QCing. And so once you QC that kit, you can't QC it again. So, that's one thing that I've noticed too, is that just QC checks, getting those done can be a little bit difficult for our staff too.
Yeah,
And
and
so
so just to kind of follow up on your question, do you have like policies on a risk assessment approach or risk management at your facility?
our facility is fairly new, so we're trying to kind of match whatever the hospital does right now. But the hospital, of course, is they have all sorts of accreditations, and so their things are very much geared towards that. Right now, our systems are not accredited, so that makes it a little bit harder to get some of these things done, just because there's not that motivation, like, oh, we're gonna get audited, oh, we're going to. Right now, it's kind of been our team going out there and providing somewhat of an audit. We're, doing some checklists, like going, every year, going to see, hey, are you guys doing this right? Is this being done appropriately? And, a lot of times it's not. And then, but there's no real true motivation to get that done, because it's not like, oh, you're going to get shut down
Right.
if you don't do this.
But then, like, your expertise and knowledge is like, that it would just be beneficial to have these
Exactly.
processes in place.
Yeah,
Thank
for
you.
patient safety and, all sorts of other reasons too.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. Thank you for that. And then, so I'm going back to the chat here. I see a question. Would love to hear what others are doing to address the testing reluctance in pediatric patients. So, in case there's anyone here that works with pediatric patients, and like, what are some of the best practices, lessons learned, that came from working with pediatric patients?
I can speak to that a little bit, only because a lot of the CLIA waived testing, they're, when you read their intended for use section, a lot of times, for example, for RSV, it tells you that the age should be like 6 or below. And sometimes it'll tell you, this is, these tests are only meant for this this age range. And if you're outside of that test range, then, and the CDC, for example, says that for any adults, if you want to test for adults, like, for example, RSV, you can't really do antigen because their viral load is lower, so it's not as easy to capture that if you're doing antigen, and you have to do, RT-PCR. So that would be ha that'd be referred out if you're not currently doing, if you don't have a high complexity a certification. So I know that we struggle with this too, is that you don't want to do any testing unless it's for sure okay with the manufacturer, and
Yeah.
that we actually did test the performance in that group.
Yeah, thank you for that. Is there anybody else before we move forward? And I just want to recognize also additionally in the chat, had folks add in on the compliance conversation here that we can purchase individual QC swabs for additional QC needs, and others round on clinics annually for compliance. So, additionally, kind of thinking through resources to support maybe that annual rounding for compliance, and adding on that if you do not follow manufacturer instructions, a waived test becomes a highly complex test. So, just making sure that maybe there's some additional guidance on manufacturer instructions, especially and how to navigate and especially prepare staff on reading through the manufacturer instructions seems to be another area for us to explore. With that, I think Meredith, we can move on to like our next question.
Thank you. So, another kind of goal for the One Lab Test community of practice is that we are feedback driven, and we, when we develop job aids or resources or e-learning courses or any of these things, we do it with you in mind and with your needs, and kind of pain points in mind. So we would love to hear from you about, what are the specific areas in where you need supplementary training materials? And then, is there anything that we've created that you found particularly helpful? Kind of just want to get a sense of what do you need, and then of what we have currently offered, is there anything that has been helpful? So would love folks to come off mute and share or drop their thoughts in the chat.
Yeah, and it's just building off of our previous discussion here. It looks like, we could definitely use some more resources on standardization and equipment and risk assessment. But are there other, focus areas that would help in terms of your training needs or your staff or additional resources that might be helpful for just overall responding to point of care testing needs?
Hey, Julie, this is Alicia. A lot of the things that we have already that we have for our labs, they can be customized for point of care, like our risk assessment. You can always use the things that are relevant to your area. It's the same exact thing. The quality, all of those resources, they can still be customized to any location. So don't feel that you can only use just what we have for test, which is a lot of it is related to COVID. A lot of the things that we have for our lab that sits on what we call more of our network side, those things can still be customized. And it is good to actually kind of take a look at those resources that we do have. We also have an onboarding, I don't know if you want to
Template.
call it a video or a
Template.
document that you can use it, that template that can be used to when you're onboarding new people into your point of care areas. Inside of that document, you can actually drop any trainings. You can also drop the manufacturers, their manuals, anything into that one document. And that way you have one place where you can actually train someone. If it's in a different location, that can be customized for another location. So I do want to stress that we do have a lot of things that you're asking for that are just sitting on our other platforms. Don't feel like you cannot use those, because all of our manuals, all our job aids, they're customizable. So you can actually go in and take that Word document and customize it to the area that you're working in.
Perfect. Thank you, Alicia. And we also put in the chat the link to our site, just our general One Lab Reach site. So you'll be able to explore the One Lab Network page that Alicia was mentioning. We also linked the laboratory onboarding template there for you all in the chat. So additional question that I'm seeing is, any technical training opportunities for those resource limit countries to attend in person at wet lab, specifically for infectious disease genomic sequencing? I think that is a question that I will probably have to follow up on and look into more for the answer to that. I don't want to misspeak, so that's something that we can follow up via email on. And then additionally, oh, go ahead, Alicia, if you
So unfortunately, all of our things that we do is because of regulations, we only do for the US. However, you're still free to use some of our resources. As far as certification, we do no certification. So we would just so that you know, we honestly can't look for it really like certification things. Those you will probably have to find through other resources, maybe some of your colleagues right now that are on this call that you can actually partner with them and they can probably provide you a better way to, you know, find the actual things that you need. But unfortunately, like everything that we do is for US labs and clinical and public health labs. So I would stress to take this opportunity to actually network with several of your colleagues that are on this webinar right now to reach out to them to see if they can actually help you provide you with an answer to that.
Thank you. And again, just to get back to our question here in terms of resources, and another thing that was mentioned earlier was RSV. So just even looking ahead for our upcoming flu, RSV, COVID season, thinking through like as we're preparing for that season, are there certain resources for point of care testing that might fill in some training gaps for you at your facility or with your staff and teams?
I would like to see maybe some resources that are geared towards those who are maybe more on the administrative side. I know that right now it's kind of hard for for any of the staff that they have underneath them. For example, maybe we have an administrator and they're in charge of probably just the financial side. And so I would like to see a little bit more of information that is geared towards them because they're not coming from the clinical side. They don't understand the importance of, for example, having someone always checking for expiration dates on their test kits, or someone always having to do like a skills check every year. They think that that's, pulling them away from the clinic and taking away potential time where they could be seeing patients. So I'd like to see maybe some resources that is geared towards them, because then we could get a buy-in from them, and all those other necessary things make fall into place because they understand the importance of it. Right now, there's a lot of administration and people in charge of financial budgets, and they may say, oh, we don't want to buy, for example, someone in the chat said, oh, you can easily buy these QC swabs. You can, buy them if you need extras. Yes, I know that, but the issue is, no, when they see it at the end of the day, it's a financial burden more than anything. And I feel like if they knew how important these things are and how important it would be for patient safety, patient satisfaction, for example, then they would probably think, oh yeah, let's go ahead and approve all of these other purchases, because and maybe amplify their budget a little bit if they knew how important all these things are and what goes into it really. Because right now it's more like, oh, you just do your like point of care tests and that's it. They
Right.
don't really know what all goes into it. Like, they don't know that we're trying to do risk management. They don't really know all the little things that we do to make sure that this system works.
Like, in terms of your interaction with administration, has there been something that has worked for you that you think we can kind of build upon? Like, were there some things that allowed it to be successful in terms of that conversation for getting their buy-in?
Yes, it's usually where you say, hey, if you can QC, if you have more QC swabs available, we won't have to throw away all these other kits if we don't know
Mm-hmm.
whether or not they were exposed to a temperature excursion. We can easily QC them if we had them, or we can say, hey, there is data showing that visual reads are probably not the standard. The standard would be for us to have an analyzer and to have, like for example, an integration where it uploads test results into the patient chart instead of, we just print out the receipt and then we post it to the patient chart and hopefully everyone gets it right, so it's like little things like that where you can tie it into basically a financial standpoint, and it's like, look at all this data that supports having this, having QC swaps, having integration, having analyzers to do this work for you guys. Like, I guess that would be something that would be really nice to get that data showing them and then be able to see, hey, this is CDC saying this. Like, they would like to see someone who has, like, for example, your grade of knowledge come
Right.
forward and say stuff like that, you know?
The ROI of just effective quality control and
Yes.
management. Okay,
So
I understand.
we do have a resource already. It can be found in to test or not to test. So we do have something. Again, like I said, everything that we have is customizable. You customize it to your location.
I think that's the issue, is that whenever we give them very open, like, this is what labs are doing, it's like, oh, well, we're not a lab. We are primary care. We don't have any of the same resources that labs do. We don't have this PhD who's in charge of, who has like all this wet lab experience. We have MAs, we have a doctor, and that's what, it's so they feel like it's totally separate from, any suggestions that come from lab. It's almost like, well, we have different setting. And I don't know if that's just the general consensus because it's hard to familiarize yourself, or you're detached from it because you've never come from that field. But I mean, that's just my experience. I don't know about anybody else.
And that's really helpful for us to hear,
Yeah.
because one of the things that we are looking at is to take some of those available resources, right, that are right now more targeted towards labs and adjust those to fit, the point of care testing environments. And so everything that you guys are talking about today is really helpful because as we're going through this, we're able to say, okay, a job aid that helps with this or a training for this. And that gives us that opportunity to focus on ones that we could give a little bit more guidance, on that point of care testing. And then from there, be able to give you all guidance on how to make that fit with what you are specifically working with. So all of this is very helpful so that we can do that next step of getting those things to you that are pointed towards that point of care testing.
Yeah, and a lot of what I'm seeing in the chat is responding and building off of what you're saying, Guadalupe, of just sharing the regulatory requirements and the price of potential mistakes on this, as well as some suggestions on the equipment being used at the moment. I'm seeing a lot of that in the chat, and as well as the link to what was mentioned, the to test and not to test booklet, as well. And then also here, understanding algorithms for the MA. So that's definitely something that we'll build upon.
Oh, Teresa Snelling has her hand up.
Oh, yes, Teresa.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Yes, but we have a little background.
Let me see if I can get rid of the background. Is it there now?
No.
Nope, you sound great.
Okay. I just want to make sure you understand the definition of wave testing. It is simple testing that is supposedly easy to do, that has the least amount of errors or potential for errors. And when you start talking about a whole bunch of equipment, now there are some wave tests that come with equipment, like you can have a glucose reader, but sometimes they're not where you can have them put that result into a system. You're still going to maybe have to type it into a system, because the more complex your instrumentation is, the more you have to do to a specimen, then you get past waved, and then you go into the other categories like moderate and compliance and accreditation. And then you would have to have staffing that has more education and more certification. And that's why most of your wave testing are extremely simple. It's like a swab or a little test strip, and you apply, like the glucose, you apply the blood to the strip. 5, 10 minutes later, you read it. But, most instrumentation, not all, but most, requires you to spin the specimen down, put it in a centrifuge, and spin it. If that's the case, that's going to fall into moderate. So you're going to go to a whole different level. I hope that answers some of your questions.
We're getting some thumbs ups and agreed. So thank you, Teresia. Okay. So I think we were just wrapping up with like some more building upon of potential education needs for staff. So we saw that earlier. With those that may not have a scientific background. And then we've had this discussion about maybe some materials that are more geared towards those, continue with those with no scientific background because they may be in the administrative positions and not understand maybe the role and importance of point of care testing for their facilities. So I think those are some good starting points for us in terms of additional education needs. But if there's anything that you think we're missing, please feel free to jump into the conversation. I think for me, in terms of another follow-up questions, are there particular resources and needs for your facility with other maybe special populations or more vulnerable populations that you may deal with? And if your facility does deal with them, like are there some additional lessons learned with working with these populations regarding point of care testing? Okay, I'm getting the diabetics and HIV. Okay, so just kind of to probe on those. Do you currently have resources available for, oh, and a lots of homeless populations? So do you have resources available at your facility that maybe helps educate further on the point of care testing needs for these populations? Okay, yeah, great. Kind of just elaborate further. Were there some lessons learned for you at your facility for working with them? Like, that you can kind of help share, especially in your current state today. Like, it's what has worked really well for addressing this. Oh, you have a diabetic clinic, so like a just specialized clinics for these certain populations. That's good to know. That's good to know, especially for again from our team of what populations do you all serve as point of care testers? So with that, and just be mindful of that, Meredith, were there any maybe additional questions we wanted to go over? I think I see.
So I think that we do have sort of a few back pocket additional questions we can ask. I think looking ahead, have we, would this be a good opportunity to kind of talk about, are there any needs you anticipate looking ahead? Or how can One Lab support you or your staff with your career trajectory? So maybe that could be a topic we could touch on before we wrap up.
So what I'm seeing in the chat from us is a way to get data on point of care deficiencies from the CDC. I believe the last survey is from CLIA and CMS in 2004. Yeah, that's something that we can look into in terms of like publishing some more data reports or links to a lot of the data reports that I know that usually the CDC works on in terms of providing. So that's something we can follow up on. And then I see it may already exist, but complexity of tests is needed. Did you want to elaborate a little bit more on that in terms of just thinking through like a potential job aid or resource of highlighting the complexity of tests? Oh, yes. Okay. So as more moderate complexity point of care tests are coming on board, okay. So just looking ahead to more advancements in point of care testing and point of care testing types, is what I'm seeing. It says, yeah, some of these manufacturers are tricky because a certain panel may be complex, but another, oops, another analyte. Might be waived. Okay. So kind of getting to Teresia's other point too. Yep. Thank you for popping it already in the chat. Of the list, what con is considered a wave test and having that list available.
And I'm actually going to follow up on that really quick because you're making some good points here. We know that point of care testing is not limited to waived testing. So if you all are doing more than just wave testing, right? If you're doing that moderate complexity, I'd love to just kind of get a quick sense of is mostly waived testing being done in your facility, or is it a mix, or is it more of the moderate complexity testing? So that would be good for us to understand as well.
Okay, I'm getting some all waived for us. Okay. Are there anyone that has like a mix of the waived and more moderate and complex? Okay, mix in the hospital labs, all waived in clinics. And then we have strictly CLIA waived. So a little bit a mix here in terms of our audience. Yeah, that's really helpful and kind of helps us take a more informative look at what we have available and tailoring it to these unique needs. Is there any questions that we want to wrap with, Meredith? Think that. Good.
And I don't think so. I think we're in a good place. With the note that we of course welcome any additional thoughts or feedback. And if something comes to mind after this call, you're of course welcome to get in touch with us. I do see one more question in the chat, Julie. I don't know if we want to.
Just popped in there, so it seems like the question is, how is everyone performing their flow cytometry with CLIA protocols with the Beckman? Oh, and then noticing that some equipment and does not even have their product or manufacturer inserts. Okay. Send out. Okay. Okay. Send outs for flow though. To kind of respond to the question. And also be encouraged with the chat if you do feel comfortable with sharing your contact information with one another to connect and follow up on conversations or share best practices and lessons learned. Please feel free to send contact information with one another. We're hoping that this is kind of what comes out of our discussion and one lab test in general is that you're able to connect with one another and share these great tips and additional resources that may help work at your site that you think might be helpful at another site. Okay, perfect. So with that, I think we can move on to our next slide. So please feel free to continue conversations in the chat. And then we can kind of wrap up with today's slides here for you.
Thank you. And thank you everyone for participating and for exchanging tips in the chat. So just kind of want to, like Julie said, get us all wrapped up here. So if you've joined the call today and you're not already a OneLab test member, we would love to invite you to scan the QR code and to opt in to join. It's free and it's the platform through which you can opt in to receive communications about future calls like these, any OneLab test related job aids, courses, other communication related to this community of practice. So we'd love to continue today's conversation and you'll get updates related to OneLab test and be able to stay in the know that way. Next slide, please. And so we do want to talk about our next event. It came up earlier on today's call, but later this month, we will be having the first of a two-part series on our Ready, Set, Test resources. So patient testing is important. Get the right results is the first session. You can register with the link here. We'll also add that link to the chat. And you'll hear in this session some information about best practices for professionals and volunteers who perform or coordinate wave testing in non-traditional settings, so outside of the traditional laboratory space. So please register and pass along the link and information to your colleagues. We welcome participation from you all and from the people you know and work with. Next slide, please. So like we do with all of our events, we will get this up on OneLab Reach. We aim to do that within 2 weeks. So you can also share that link if there's anyone you know who might be interested, who wasn't able to participate today, or if there's something you know you want to revisit from today's session, we will share that link within 2 weeks. And I do want to encourage all of you, like I said, we are feedback driven. We welcome your thoughts on today's session or on anything else that may come to mind, you know, resources, topics of interest, what you need, what you're finding helpful. We welcome that. And so we encourage you to share your feedback via email, onelab@cdc.gov. And like I said, we do use your input to determine topics for future events, to understand what we can do to help you and to support your work. We will put that email address in the chat. And again, thank you all so much for being here and for all of the great feedback. And we look forward to hopefully having you all join our next session later this month. And we look forward to hearing your thoughts and feedback. And thank you again for a great call today.
Thank you all. Have a great rest of your day.